What'd you say? What's the symptom?
So only one side, doctor.
Might be. No, you broke
it. It's down here, Jack.
He was going as well.
He didn't even have to give me the reach out.
Do you know what? I was waiting to hear.
I'm a professional, mate. I'm a professional.
Yeah, no, I think we're good.
You alright?
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Tell me the time.
Can we just check again?
Please.
I'm done. I've already applauded myself. Yep.
Missed you, Jack.
Touch me in the morning.
I'm getting cut, so it's fine.
Leave it in.
You have to bleep that out because otherwise YouTube don't like it, does it? Right then, episode 45.
Oh, what a laugh.
Episode 45. Thanks for that instruction. And season...
We're not doing seasons.
Oh, come on.
Five.
45.
Season 5, episode 45, and we have two new guests tonight. I'm back in the hot seat with Pete's body double, Mr. Mark MJ Tiff, and we've got two new guests on tonight. Mark, who've we got?
We got Luke from, what is it, Blue Bulldog
Plumbing. Blue Balls?
Blue Bulldog.
Blue Bulldog, yeah. Blue Bulldog. Blue Balls.
What a theme.
most plumbers or most companies have their name and initials, but yours is...
Just call him Luke from BB.
Yeah, Luke from Big Brother.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, could be.
I'm Ryan from BB. Big Boots.
That's it.
I saw the bees tonight.
Two bees, yeah.
Yeah.
Big.
Anyway, swiftly moving on.
We've already gone on to toilet humour.
Who would you like to get into first? And the reason being is we've got somebody from local, and then we've got somebody from far away. You know, I'm feeling...
Long flight to get here.
Home and away.
I'm jet lagged.
Do you want to go home?
They're neighbours, isn't it? Home and away.
Yeah, funny story about that, actually. I used to live not that far from where Neighbours was filmed.
He's going
to
get really annoyed.
Neighbours, and then you get like a tourist bus would come past our house all the time, and he's would be on the bus, like looking at you, taking it photos. I just put it on, I'd be like, yeah, g'day, yeah, I'm part of
Neighbours. It's when they go to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Not quite, but yeah.
I love the way you know all the yeah, people so in it.
I'll be honest, my sister used to watch it until she was about 15, so I was about 12, so literally it was like religious in our house.
5:35,
and it was always like, couldn't do the homework until we'd watch Neighbours, so I was force-fed it as a child, so.
Yeah.
And what's like, I think is they're all still in it.
Paul. So was it a real street?
Yeah, it's called Pin Oak Court, actually. And it's actually like a cul-de-sac or a court.
But people lived in the houses?
Yeah, people lived in the houses, and there'd be always security.
It weren't just a set?
No. The house, so obviously the inside of the house is all set, but the outside of the houses, everything filmed in the court was, yeah, there's like usually a security guard that would stand out the front all the time because people want to come in and look in at the place. So yeah, that was literally, I don't know, 2-minute drive from my house in Melbourne, yeah.
No, it's going up, Brookside. So yeah. We just had Brookside in Liverpool, didn't we?
No, well, we had doctors in Birmingham, mate.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, doctors.
Doctors.
I think it's been canned now. Doctors.
Missed doctors.
So,
too busy working.
Who do you want to start with anyway? Should we go home or away?
Let's go away. Let's go Big Boots. Big Boots.
Yeah. So basically,
he's going to love beeping his
out. I know. Yeah.
So much work there.
So what we tend to do is just get you on the show. It's a chance to give us like the backstory of how, especially for you, because obviously, why are you here?
Yeah.
Australia is it's a pretty good place to come from.
Yeah.
And just sort of give us the backstory of how you got to where you are now, whether or not obviously you were in trades or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, just give us like a little. Brief history as to how you became big.
Lots of fish and chips, mate. Yeah. Now, look, it depends how far you want to go back. So I obviously grew up in Melbourne. I finished high school and always wanted to join the military. So I joined the Air Force as soon as I got out of high school when I was 18. I was in there for about a year and then got out and was kind of in sales jobs until I just kind of was a bit fed up. I hadn't travelled or anything. So
what were you selling?
Would you believe it? An ice cream.
What was the most popular flavour? These are the questions.
Have you been to Australia a fair bit? You know Maxi Bonds, like Peter's ice cream. Yeah, that's
so what's that?
It's like a sandwich ice cream, and you can get like different.
Like a wafer.
Yeah, you got like two biscuits, and then like it's just like an
ice cream. Yeah.
That's not an ice cream though. An ice cream is.
No, they do. They call drumsticks as well. It's like
a bit. ice cream. Well, and that was the best one.
Oh, mate, they fly out the door. And the worst thing was, when I was working at this company, I had like a freezer.
You loved it. You know, you know.
It's the best. It's the best. I was literally had like a freezer right on the other side of my desk. So for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I was just smashing ice cream.
And that's how I became big.
So now I came over here, and after I finished there, and played a bit of cricket up north in Lincolnshire, and met my now wife, who's I was saying to you boys before, a lot more attractive than I am.
So why the move? Why brought you over here?
I had lost both my grandparents in pretty quick succession. I thought life's too short to just be working straight into. I need to do a bit of travel, and you know,
let's go to a really dreary, grey, rainy country.
I was about to say that's a pretty costly mistake. Yeah.
If you saw my wife, you'd realise it wasn't. So no, it's yeah, lost both my grandparents, thought I'd come over and play a bit of cricket, love cricket, and a guy from England had played with us in Melbourne, so I thought I'd go back and give it a crack, and really enjoyed my time up in Lincoln, where most people were like, where the hell's Lincoln, you know, what's it like? But it's actually quite a nice city up, like, north of the tracks. And we just absolutely loved it, and I thought, I could actually live here.
Yeah.
Worked in a bit of agriculture when I was there, in trading, and then I had to go back because my visa ran out. I spent 3 years back in Melbourne. That's kind of where I started getting into trades and workwear and like the Aussie brands. I actually worked for like a TAFE, which is what you call colleges over here. And I got like met Elwood Workwear, Steel Blue, did a bit with Bisley and like some heat pump companies and things like that.
I mean, these brands that you talk about, because everybody knows, like, you know, Steel Blue and stuff like that. I mean, for us here, because we see them over here, but how big are these brands in Australia?
Steel Blue is massive.
Like, I know Bisley are.
Yeah, they're massive. Yeah. Bisley, Steel Blue are the biggest selling work boots in Australia.
They're the go-to sort of brand in Australia.
Yeah, by far, yeah.
Because I just picture Australians as just always in work gear.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty much wearing what I'm wearing now. Right. Yeah, so it's got a lot more...
Apart from shorts.
Yeah. Very casual. It's almost a fashion show over there for work wear and boots and things like that. It's very different to what is here in the UK. So I worked in that for college for a few years, and then we decided to move back, and I got into, I was working for an air conditioning company called Midia or Midea or whatever you want to call it, and I was doing a surveying job with them. And then COVID hit, and I was like, I don't want to be a surveyor for the rest of my life sort of thing. So I was thinking, what do I know? What do I see? A bit of a gap in the market. And I saw there's not much Aussie workwear or Aussie boots over here, and Steel Blue was kind of relatively new at the time. And I kind of approached them after, and I think they've been in the UK for about a couple of years, but they didn't really have a big online presence.
Right.
And I said to them, look, I want to start a business and I want to sell your boots and do some colleges and things like that. And they gave me a chance, and fair play to them. Like, I was just like this random bloke online, you know, wants to start his own business.
So was you one of the first people to approach them and to work with them?
No, they had customers already in the UK. Okay. Yep. So they had customers in the UK, but in terms of like Instagram and social media, When I first started, I didn't distribution. They're a little bit, yeah. So I think I did like some people selling on Amazon and eBay. And I think there's a lot more storefront companies. But in terms of like Instagram and social media, I really feel like they didn't have a huge presence was when I first approached them. And then I thought I'd take them on and give them a crack. And they, you know, thanks to them, they gave me a crack. And actually I spent 1,500 quid building the business up, bought 5 pairs, and then, you know, paid by pro forma, sold them, bought another 8 pairs, sold them. And then eventually they gave me like a credit limit, and then because I could see I was paying on time. And then obviously eventually I just moved into other brands as well.
So that was the first thing you stopped then?
Yeah, Steel Blue. Yeah, absolutely. Well, as most people know that probably watch this channel, they're a quality boot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to build a business and build a reputation on quality. And number one, just not for, I know that I'm putting something on someone's feet that's actually good for them, and they're getting their money's worth. But for me to go to bed at night and put my head on the pillow and go, okay, I'm not selling like a dodgy product to people and I'm ripping people off. Like, this is actually a decent product.
Oh, God, Mark.
Don't mention that fucking lie. Yeah.
That's the last 17:50. Oh,
I'm winging it.
So, yeah, that's kind of where it started. And then we just kind of kept building up now. And now we've got like sole distribution of Elwood workwear across the UK and Europe, which we're pretty proud of. Like, it's very different. I'd felt like there was no point of me coming over to the UK and then starting a business and then trying to sell things that were already here, because I just think you need a bit point of difference, really. And what do I know? Australian workwear and workwear brands and footwear. So that's why I stuck with it. And then, yeah, here we are today. I've moved into a 3PL now, which is great for us.
And what?
Third-party logistics warehouse.
So technical stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, we have the warehouse.
Yeah. I pay someone else to do it for me.
Basically means he can store stock somewhere else. So he just focuses on growing the business.
Correct, yeah.
Right. And then somebody else.
So you can work from...
I can work from anywhere.
Yeah, you can work from anywhere, but everything's sent out from that.
Correct,
yeah,
correct.
So 3PL.
He'll just plug it into their system, and when an order comes through, it automatically gets picked and packed from there and then sent out.
Whereas you've got it all in-house.
So basically, we tried the direct-to-consumer thing and doing it from a third-party logistics company, and what was happening was if an order went missing, you had to create a ticket to say, "Ooh, order's gone missing, can you help me with this?" Mm. Now, if it's come from your own warehouse, you've got your own tracking number and you're working with your own couriers, I can just pick up the phone and say, "UPS, where's this, blah, 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 oh, it's here, or it's been delayed, or whatever it is," and I can go straight back to the customer pretty much within maybe an hour.
Yeah.
If you're using third-party logistics and something goes wrong, it could be a day or a day and a half.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
And for me being a control freak and wanting... And wanting the customer experience to be like where people go, "I wasn't expecting a response on a Saturday evening on social media." I wanted that. So that was the only difference. But it's easy for me to do because I've got the warehouse here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It's just at the time, we weren't set up to send out individual orders. You know, to send out individual orders. Right. Say you get 1,000 of them overnight. But yeah, you got to go and pick 1,000 IL-425s individually.
SLR-1750s.
Code MJ-225. But do you know what I mean? You've got to go and pick every single one of those. Yeah. And that then increases the level of staffing that you need. And then obviously the level of staffing, you've got more national insurance, you've got more tax, you've got more wage, you've got more pension contribution. Obviously, when you do third-party logistics, yes, okay, you're paying a small percentage of, you know, the fee that you make, but actually you don't have the headache of having to manage all the staff.
Yeah, all that's out.
So we could get our own warehouse and hire staff, but it's just too much of a cost. Yeah, and with the volume we're getting to at the moment, like, it's just easier. And that does happen. Like, at the moment, this time of year isn't just...
Well, you don't have lost
all the time.
If you've got a warehouse as well, you've got business rights on the warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to find somewhere. You've got to rent it.
Yeah.
You get the business rates on top. So actually, if you're not at that point where you haven't got 10,000 pieces of one item in there, your third.
I suppose it's that tipping point, isn't it?
There will be a tipping point. And there is a certain amount that we know that if we do hit that, we're nowhere near it, and that we'll have to then look at our warehouse and staff.
Even Gymshark uses third-party logistics.
Really?
Yeah.
And their mantra was, obviously, so we own this office. Mm. Their mantra was always, actually, Blythe Valley, when they moved from just being down the road, just there, and they moved to Blythe Valley, you'd think that they own their building, but they don't. They rent it, and they spent $3 million refurbing it, but they don't own any of their buildings. Now, to me, that's fine if that's your strategy, but mine is always...
Would that be your strategy?
No, my strategy is this is an asset. Yeah, so even if Unilight closed tomorrow...
You've got this.
I own the building and could re-rent out the building. Exactly, so that's the difference, but obviously... If you're doing third-party logistics, it takes that headache away from you as you're trying to grow.
Yeah.
It just helps me in terms of, like, getting, especially, like, faster response times to customer service, people messaging me on Instagram. And then, look, stuff does go missing by the 3PL. We just raise a ticket, and as soon as the courier comes back, we use DPD and Royal Mail, and they admit fault, I just send them out a new pair straight away.
Yeah. And it works a treat for you, though.
It does. Well, it does, because customers, of course they want their product yesterday. And then they pay for express, they want it yesterday. Yeah. And that's absolutely fine. I completely understand. But most people know, if I get back to them quick and say, "Sorry, mate, we just need to wait for an investigation." As soon as they come back, it's not like we don't believe you. And they come back and say, "Yeah, DPD at fault," but then they're not going to credit us for 90 days or whatever. It's ridiculous. We'll still cop that cost for 90 days because the customers pay. We've got their money.
No. Like, if you want some boots, Lou, just order them and say, "They've gone missing."
Contribute another pair. Shout out.
It's like when I ordered some boots from you, and I usually wear a size 10. 10's come out, they just felt a bit tight. I dropped you a message on your Instagram. It was a random Sunday afternoon. You come back and went, "Mark, just order 11 and 11 and a half, have them, and send back whatever you don't use."
Yeah, yeah.
And that just works. And we were saying it earlier, weren't it?
Something that just to touch on that you wouldn't have seen there is he would have had to pay a handling fee on all of those boxes that have been sent out to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably in that instance, a restocking fee or to put them back.
Yeah. I'll chuck you 20 quid on the way out. Sorry, buddy.
But these are all things that actually it's quite good having you on talking about these because these are all things that the customer just doesn't see.
No, no.
So when we send something out, they think, "Oh, well, it only costs six pounds to send out the parcel, and I know that because I've checked on DPD, but they don't understand you get fuel surcharge on top.
Right.
Obviously, if you don't send out a certain amount of parcels and you've agreed to do that, you'll get charged. There's all these little hidden fees, and obviously, if he's sending out three parcels to you, he might get clobbered with, oh, it's over a certain weight or it's over a certain size or whatever it is.
And I think as well, when I sent them back, I'm sure it was free for me to send them
back.
It
was, yeah. So,
you're getting hammered with that as well.
Yeah, so it cost us about £3 a return.
And that's I've done all right. Okay. £20 then.
Well, this is good for people to understand. Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, we try, as an e-commerce brand, and we don't have like a shop front, it's obviously very difficult for customers to go, how are these boots going to feel? How is this workwear going to feel? And we understand that. And then to be really competitive, really, we need to be offering free delivery and free returns. So we do cop it. And, you know, there's not like a restocking fee, but every return, it gets checked, and that costs me money. And then obviously every time something goes out, we get charged. But that's okay, because if I get you and you've had really good service in 18 months, 2 years' time, when you need a new pair of boots, you know, I'm going to go back to Big Boots UK because he looked after us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm banking on, where someone might say, oh, nah, it's $4.99 for return. You've got to go through this whole paper.
You're just building that.
This is what happened during the pandemic. It was free delivery, free returns. Everybody, and I was looking at some of these companies thinking, how do you incorporate that into your overall cost?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because actually, we only ever use DPD or UPS, which is at least £6 to send something out.
Yeah. Right.
So if you then send it back, there's £12 in total. So if somebody's only ordering £35 worth of stuff, how are people offering that? But then all these Gymsharks and ASOS and all them, now they've started charging you if you want to send something back.
Yeah, so they're saying, buy it.
If you've noticed over time, if you send something back, well, actually, some of them are still charging you, like Selfridges, you know, if you buy something from there, it's £100.
Yeah.
You've still got to pay £10 delivery or whatever it is.
It's funny like that, because like something like over, like we sell a lot of these like over boots and gaiters that go over like socks for farmers and things like that. And they're like, tenner, like £11, and we charge postage for that because we just wouldn't make any money on the things otherwise. And for return, we charge a little bit for that. But for something that's premium, like a pair of steel blue boots or mongrel boots, that's over 120 quid, £130, including VAT, you're expecting a premium product and a premium service. And I think we're almost obliged to do that for a customer because
you wouldn't feel happy sending someone a pair of boots for £125 plus postage.
No way. Mm. Absolutely no way.
You'd be surprised how many brands do that.
Yeah, and it's different because I feel like in the UK, a lot of people just like to go get their £20 screw fix boots, £30 screw fix boots at 3-4 times a year, and they're happy with that sort of thing. But when someone does take the leap and goes, oh, I've seen the reviews of these boots, I've seen the review of these workwear, I'm going to bite the bullet and spend £129 on a pair of boots, they deserve something above and beyond to the way they get their boots. And, you know, and we follow them up with emails, make sure they're happy with reviews. And if they're not, we'll send it back and lots of stuff because, you know, obviously, we do lose margin. But at the end of the day, if they go, oh, Ryan, sort us out, I know he'll come back and try something different in the future. And we do find, because obviously it's just my wife and I that run the business. A lot of people will come to us because we are a small family business and we do look after people because we understand that, you know, especially in times like now, it's like, times are tough.
The good thing is you've built that online, like the Instagram thing.
Yeah.
You know, selling boots, you're just selling boots. It's the same as like when Troy came in from Rhino, how do you sell insurance?
Yeah.
But by being quite prominent on Instagram and getting yourself out there, people will come to you because they go, they're in it day to day. They're putting content out.
It's probably my worst part, my worst strength, because I'm not a big fan of social media. Like I'm on it because of work.
Yeah.
And I really, in terms of like growth on my social media, I just don't put enough time into it because I really just don't like to be on it. And that, it's funny because obviously a lot of people, the guys that are on social media, YouTube and lots of stuff, it does really well for them. And fair play to you if you can put the time in. But really when I was setting up the business, my wife got pregnant, I wanted to spend time. The reason I went to a 3PL in the first place is I just want to spend time with my son.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what? You're never going to get those 18 months back ever. And then, you know, I can sit on the laptop, he can be crawling over me, all this stuff. You know, the other day, he's absolutely losing his marbles, and I've got like some bloke at the end of the phone just going, hey, mate, what?
Your laces won't. You're struggling with me laces, mate.
I said that there's a zip, mate. And then, you know,
boots.
And he goes, he said to me, a good thing is about other customers, that they're all pretty down to earth, you know, small business owners and understand what's going on. And he goes, oh, mate, I can see you struggling there with your son. Like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, he's fine. And he's crawling off my leg and all this stuff. I've got the computer up here with one hand and I'm, you know, kicking him off with the other hand. The dog's licking my foot, you know, and the wife's screaming at me because I didn't put a shirt away or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, mate, I appreciate you sorting that out. And that's the type of relationship we want with other, yeah, obviously we want to grow the business, but at the end of the day, it's just all my wife and I. And we kind of want to keep that kind of relationship with our customers. Yeah. You know, premium service, premium, you know, and yeah, that's where we want to be.
Accessible.
Well, that's right, yeah. You know, someone switches a message on a Saturday, they probably don't understand that I'm not going to get back to them straight away. But if I've got my phone on me and I've got 5 seconds, I shouldn't have a message.
That's why you'll always be, like, for me, whenever we get a message, if it's a Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, like, most times I'm sat in front of the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Just respond to the message.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
That's the difference, is some companies won't respond until 10 o'clock on a Monday morning.
No, they won't. I know I've got a message there from a guy today. He messaged me while I was driving. I was like, I'm just going to have to wait until that one's done. And as soon as I get home tonight, I'll sit in front of the TV.
Are you the only one that has access to your account then?
My wife does.
You and the missus?
Yeah, yeah.
But just you then?
Well, she's, yeah. Well, she actually still works part-time.
Right, okay.
3 days a week. But she's, hopefully this comes out after she resigns, but she's coming onto the business.
Can we have a date stamp?
Yeah, but when the hell is this coming out?
Welcome. Yeah, the gaffer talks around, she's still there.
Yeah, welcome communications. Yeah, she's coming on full-time, which is huge because I just can't manage the business as it is now. Like, we're growing our wholesale side and our direct-to-consumer side, and it's just getting far, far too busy.
Yeah, but that's got to be really nice for you to be able to then get the missus involved in it and be a proper family-run business.
Absolutely. And I know the statistics don't look great in family-run businesses and stuff like that, but my wife and I do clash. It's because I'm a s**ker sometimes. Like, you know, I'm just like, this is my way or the highway, yeah. You know, so I'm swearing again. Shit, crap, you know. she's really good at the marketing side of things, and she'll take all the marketing that deals with that, all our agencies that we deal with, and I'll just look after the commercial side. So it'll be a real split, and I'll just let her run with it.
Mm.
I'll just let her run with it, and it'll work fine. I know it will because if you know, we're married and we raised a kid together, and he's going pretty well. So if we get through that, you can get through anything.
I've been here with the sis.
Yeah,
we do like. We have probably our one row a year where we have a major like bust up in the office, and she'll bugger off home because she'll be like, I can't deal with you, because we sit in the same office.
What, be proper door slam?
She'll do her hissy fit, and then she walks out, and then the next day it's fine. We've learned to be like, next day, that's it, fine. Yeah.
Back draw in. A line
yeah.
under
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to, like, we will definitely clash. I know he will, because she knows a lot that I don't know, and I know a lot that she doesn't know. And at the end of the day,
she obviously knows more than you.
Yeah.
Better looking.
Mate, you know, so she is definitely going to be the face of this business as of January, and we'll get a shit ton of subscribers because, you know, they'll see
her and they'll be like, who is this?
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
You haven't told her yet. You've got to wear those boots with that bikini.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Only small pink shorts. Only go back to the beach, that's walking up the front of the
that's
beach.
That's right. But again, like we were talking before with 3PL and stuff, like, I went back to Australia for 3 weeks recently to see my parents and had some business meetings while I was out there, and I could just work from my laptop over there and things like that. So yeah, business is great, really enjoying it, and we just want to just keep growing organically, doing our thing, and just really sticking to our morals. So, you know, you order a premium product, you get premium service, and really look after the brands that we do have, because they are premium brands and they don't need to be discounted and things like that. We don't do many sales. I think we're doing one big Black Friday sale coming up, but it's for two brands
a discount code for you on our thing, have we?
I think we have to talk about it.
I thought you were going to say you've got a sale coming up.
I think there's
always a sale.
Big beats.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, no, you do. Yeah, Trade Legends.
Trade Legends.
10% off on all that stuff. So, yeah, there's...
MJ,
we'll talk. So we've got some, new affiliates on board. These guys. So he'd be... and we have a talk after the show, don't we? But, we're really just...
What boots do you wear?
Me, I think I've got some Pumas at the moment.
He's got some Usain Bolts.
Puma Match. Remember Puma Match back in the day? He's got a pair of them.
It's because there's blue.
But with us...
do you wear the steel
blues? I wear steel blues. I've got them from I'm from Ryan. But when we're going in and out of customers' houses, a lot of the time we're in train. I don't know about you. I'm in trainers a lot because we're in customers' houses. Whereas the last few weeks I've been on a big site, and obviously the steel blues come into play.
But they're still easier to get off because you've got the zip on the side.
Yeah.
But to undo your shoelaces every now and then.
The biggest thing is just, like, obviously the market's changed where people are spending more. So they just, a lot of people just don't realise that they probably need to treat their boots and their workwear a little bit better than what they treated their 30 quid screw fixes.
Yeah.
If the zip's getting a bit jammed, chuck a little bit of oil and a brush and get the stuff off it, sort of thing, you know. Yeah. Make sure the zip goes all the way to the bottom so it doesn't break the teeth and things like that. Because I had one guy at the show in Sandown last week. He came back to me. His order number for us was 1007. He was my seventh ever customer. I still had the same pair of boots on 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I wanted to come meet you and say that his boots are going strong, you know. And he bought another
stick in, I want a refund.
You do get them, though. Yeah, you do get them. Yeah, yeah. The zip's just gone on this. And then you look back and you're like, I can't even find where this guy is.
Yeah. Not even on your sister's paper ledger.
Old, yeah? No, it's
cash deal.
But then it's funny, like today, a guy goes, oh, I ordered from you guys 2 weeks ago. Where are my boots? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, okay, what's your name? I'll find your stuff. What's your order number? No, I don't have it. What's your name? Oh, I can't find it. He goes, my money's coming out of my account, mate. And I said, okay, what's, and he goes, oh, I said, what's the say? And he goes, oh, BOC. I said, that's not us, mate. and he hung up on me.
Probably chasing you.
Yeah. You know, and we there's a business, like, obviously, you know, reviews and things like that. Like, if we're in the wrong and I miss something, I'll put my hand up and I'll just say, yep. And I've done that before. Like, we got an email saying, Ryan, this has been, I said, hey, mate, I've just been really busy. I've missed it. I'll put my hand up. Yeah. And I'm just going to sort it straight away.
And people prefer that, don't
mate,
they?
Honestly, I don't know why more businesses don't do it. If you just admit you were wrong, you got to get honest. It sorted straight away. Honest. Yeah.
Not like Luke, he's called off two services this afternoon.
What did you say? What did you say it was?
Childcare issues.
I'll go to a podcast.
Childcare issues. I'm out with my dad. Ladies and gents, just a quick one to say a huge thank you to our new headline sponsor, CT1, the best sealants on the market, voted for by the British public. Not only that, it's made in Britain as well. So go and support a product and a brand that is made in the UK. But I just want to say to you, they've got a brand new product out, which is the BT1. It's a combination sealant and adhesive like the popular CT1, but it's perfect for keeping a hygienic environment. And it's designed to completely stop the growth of bacteria, microbes, and fungus. And not only that, this stuff is strong. Now, it's going to be available at Travis Perkins, Wicks, Juicens, and pretty much everywhere else. So there's no excuse not to go and give it a go. So we're really happy to be partnering with CT1.
So you, moving on to you then, Luke. So you started your working for yourself 2-3 years ago then?
2 years.
2 years ago.
Just gone 2 years.
Just so take us back to where you come into it then. Where, did you work for a firm before?
Yeah. So straight from school. My dad was a gas engineer.
Right.
So while I was at school, I was working with him anyway on the weekends, just doing a bit of pocket money. Then when I left school, you obviously get a break, but after a week, I was bored. I was like, Dad, can I just come out with you?
From literally leaving school, yeah, doing your exams, that was it,
yeah,
off out.
Straight out, yeah. I did actually quite well in school. I got really
you say that surprising. Most tradesmen are like, yeah, I've done shit. Yeah, just took a trade.
Yeah, I did, but I got like 13 HCs.
13?
13, yeah.
What?
I had
your life's gone like that, man.
But when I was at school, I was like, right, while I'm in class, get your head down. While you're out of class, do what you want, they'll get caught and they'll bring trouble home. And
really, I love that.
That sounds like that, his parents have just reeled that off.
Yeah.
Don't bring trouble home.
They'll come knocking at the front door, you're okay. True, so,
I've got 13 G's in the mum, I've made it.
So I went out with my dad and I applied to college, and because I was only 16, I had to do the plumbing first because it was a year plumbing and a year gas. So I worked with my dad doing my apprenticeship and doing that at college. So I got through all that, and just before my exams, the company was going to pay for it, they went bust.
Your old man's company?
Yeah. Right, so they lost a big contract. We used to work around here in Redditch.
Right.
Something in Boilers Inn, and they lost the contract. So I didn't have no funds, so I asked Mum and Dad, so can I lend the money? I'll pay you straight back. And they're like, yeah, we'll lend you the money.
Did you ever pay it back?
Yes.
You did?
Within 2 months. I'll pass my exams in...
You're like the dream child.
I know, he's always about to say, passed all his exams, pays his money back. My mum's still waiting for it.
So yeah, I passed my exams in the October. I had to write letters to people. This is how far I'm going back now. I was writing letters to people trying to get a job.
Yeah.
So I wrote letters. Somebody got back to me and they said, yeah, we'll pay £9 an hour. I was like, buzzing. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. And it was the maintenance company's worst job I've ever had.
So what time is this?
The 18, so 2000 and I don't know. Work that one out. It's got to be about 2000.
He doesn't want to give his age away now.
So I'm 36. 2000 or so. 18
20 years.
Yeah,
early turn of the 2000s, isn't it?
Yeah, so
working
there
for
that.
We all shit at math.
He's not.
Stephen Hawking's here.
I haven't even got my phone to get the calculator.
So I stuck that for about 9 months. Then I got a job on a council contract with somebody. That's, yeah, council contracts, more God, that makes you as an engineer. That yeah, really
I
does.
Done council yeah. work. I wow. think Pabs had done council work yep. when he was on. It sharpens your tools, doesn't it?
It really does. It yeah. toughens you up a lot, man.
You see some really shit does. In that.
I remember going to a service once, knocking the door, no answer. And I found up the gaffer and said, look, no answer. Here's another one. So I cancelled that job. I'm waiting for one. Someone bangs on the window. So I'm back now. I said, oh, I'll have to rebook it, mate. And he started like, trying to punch the window through.
That meme, just, you know, the meme with the guy smashing the window.
Yeah, yeah. Lock the doors. See you later, mate. I'm waiting.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, stuck that for about 2 years. Then I went to a company called Warmshire.
Right.
They'd done a lot of government contracts. And that was servicing boilers. Again, just servicing boilers, which, it, you know, I was still living on my mum and dad's, so it was good money at the time. So I worked with them for a bit. Then I hit a little bit of a block then. I found when I was working, I was like, all gas engineers have done this. You know, when you put the flue cap back on,
yeah.
you walk out the door, you think, did I put that back on?
Yeah.
You go back in, you're like.
So did you get home and go, shit, did I put that
yeah.
back? I've done it.
Yeah,
done I think, it last. Yeah. yeah. And you're making an excuse to go back.
Yeah, it's I left a screwdriver on top of the boiler.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found that I was doing it more and more and more.
Right.
And it was getting...
Was it playing on your mind then?
Yeah, really bad. And it got to... Then I started noticing that little habits were coming in, so I was repeating stuff over and over again. When I was 20, I bought my own house, so a lot of responsibility then. And I found I was checking doors, checking light switches, and everything like that really bad.
So that OCD thing was
yeah,
kicking
yeah.
in?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realise at the time what it was, because I asked people in the industry, I go, look, man, I keep thinking that I've left something. I was like, oh, it's normal. It happens. But they realised how bad it was.
Was it getting...
It was getting bad.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, it got to a point where, you know, tightening up a gas meter.
Yeah.
I was, like, doing that 10 times like that. And I had a massive mark on my hand.
So it was becoming really a proper bad. Issue. Yeah,
really bad issue. It was taking me, like, 2 hours to go to bed at night. So I had to go around all light switches, everything. Yeah. Just, like, I had a routine. So I'd go up to a light switch and I had to, like, rub it 10 times to make sure it was off. Then the next plug, every plug in the house. And if I messed it up, I had to start again.
I don't think people realise how hard that is, living yeah. with that.
It's horrendous.
I haven't, but I can imagine.
Was that just triggered then, just
from yeah, work?
Doing the specific...
Yeah, so when I actually realised it was a problem, I went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, it's probably bought on by moving house. You've got a lot of responsibility. It's triggered something in it. Oh. It's that's why. Because obviously living at home with your mum and dad, you just rock up a name.
Was it initially from just that... The flu caps.
Yeah, it just started. I just noticed that at work. But I said, look, a lot of gas engineers do that anyway. We've all done it. But mine was getting really bad. So eventually, I had a bit of a breakdown. Like with my ex-girlfriend at the time, I said, look, something's wrong with me. I thought, like, this ain't normal at all.
Yeah.
So I went to the doctor, and he said, oh yeah, you got OCD. Here's some antidepressants. Come back in 2 weeks.
Is that what they gave you? Antidepressants for that?
That was it.
Right, hold that. I need to get a beer.
Hours off.
I'm sat there. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to say anything. I was like,
really?
Yeah, I'll as well. Thank you. Session IPA. Yeah, that's all we got for you there.
I'll have a plumber's bronchi
if I don't think you've got
plumber's. I always run out. Good plumber's. Because we've had, I think, the last
session IPA.
Oh, whatever's going.
Pale ale or a...
I'll go session.
Session.
Yeah,
I know that one there.
It's a pale ale.
I'm happy to have whatever.
Because we have like so many plumbers on. We'll drink the plumbers.
Builder's crack, actually. I'll try.
King of the trades, king of the beers.
Builder's crack.
So that become a proper thing then?
Yeah, yeah. It was affecting my life. Now a lot of people say, oh, I'm OCD. I have to have certain things, but
it's thrown around, isn't it? OCD.
Yeah, it is thrown around a little bit. But when you've got OCD, it proper affects your life. You cannot function properly. It's really bad. Yeah, it was getting to a point where I just don't know what to do. I went to the doctor and he was just like, yeah, you got OCD, here's some antidepressants.
Is there a certain thing you can do to cope with it? I know he's giving you antidepressants, but is there a path that you can go down?
Like therapy?
There is, but nobody told me. There was no help at the time. It took me years to get the help.
So you live with that for a good few years then?
I still live with it now.
Really?
I've still got it now, yeah.
It is surprising that when you go to the doctors and you say you've got particular issues, like, oh, here's some tablets. How's tablets going to stop you from doing something that's a sequence?
Did you take the antidepressants out of interest?
Yeah, because I don't know what else to do. He just said, take them.
Thought that was...
Yeah, I thought it was a magic pill. Yeah. You know, I'll take them and there you go. You're going to get better. So I went back in 2 weeks, said, how do you feel? I was like, Well, a bit better because I ain't at work, but I'm still checking stuff around the house. He said, just give me a couple more weeks. So I went about 6 weeks off work.
It's just unbelievable, yeah. Isn't it?
This is what I mean, like mental health help. Back, yeah. This was going back to when I was 21. Like, there's no help whatsoever. There's nothing.
No, like, cognitive therapy or anything like that.
Yeah, here's some pills. I hope you get better.
Pills will help everything, won't they?
Yeah. So, yeah.
They're probably getting kickbacks for supplying the tablets.
Yeah. Well, there's that thing, isn't there? That, is it Netflix, about the some pill in America that was...
Disney Plus.
Who?
Disney Plus, dope sick.
That's it. That's the one about the whole thing around that in America. It's just money, big money thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think just poor money because the big money tower, though.
Yeah,
but that led to the breakdown in my relationship. Like, I just bought the house, and 9 months later, we were selling it because it just led to a breakdown. I was drinking a lot. Just you know, I don't know what to do myself. I really didn't know what to do myself. It was affecting my work, so that relationship broke down. Somehow I managed to get myself back at work and try and deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that, people don't actually realise how it affects every part of your life. Like, to split up from a relationship as well, where you probably look back on that and think, you'd probably still be together. Do you know what I mean?
I think we had
to get problems away.
Oh, yeah, it's my wife now.
No, you wouldn't.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, at that particular time, if that hadn't have happened, like, I know, like, you don't ever sit there now because you're probably happy with your scenario, but you think, actually, how would my life have been if that had been different? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You do sometimes.
Those little tweaks in what was your life back then.
Could like different paths.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think in that relationship there was underlying issues that just brought it to the surface, and we called it quits there. So we broke up. I moved out. I met my now wife.
Shout out to the now wife.
She's a beauty.
Much better than the old one. Just getting known there.
You should have seen it last night. And it's like people coming up to me, the impunction above your weight, mate. You are my sort of now.
What happened last night? We'll get on to that.
Yeah, we will.
We're in the same club then.
So I moved out, got a flat, was at work, and it just got worse and worse. Got to a point where I just couldn't function. I just could not function at all. So back to the doctor.
Is it that debilitating that you can't leave the house because you have to do a certain sequence before you leave the house?
You can leave the house, but you've got to check every plug socket in this office.
Yeah.
And you get to the last one and you mess it up and you got to do it all again. And you know in your head.
But what happens? That ain't normal. So is it, because what I'm trying to understand or explain to other people is it just in particular scenarios? So in your own house, that's what you have to do, but when you go out, it wouldn't be like that?
Or yeah, if I was someone else there, like, it wouldn't bother me. It just wouldn't
bother
me.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, like, if I was doing someone else there, it just wouldn't bother me.
But
one of the things the doctor said was, like, you're going to hurt nobody if I'm turning off a plug socket. I thought, yeah, mate, I work on gas boilers. I can bloody kill somebody. So it's different when I'm at work.
But not even that. It's debilitating that if you got to the very last switch, you'd have to start that process over again. Yeah. Like, you start beating yourself up internally. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get that pissed off for yourself, wouldn't you?
You do, because you know in the back of your head, you're like, you don't need to do this. Mm. What are you doing? In the back of your head, it's like a fight in your head. It really is a fight in your head. And when you're at work, so you imagine you got that at home, and when you go to work, I had a certain routine on boilers. Like, I'd have, like, the flue test point, like, it was five turns, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then it was the gas test point, turn that five times, and it was just a rigmarole, like, and because I was servicing boilers, so that was, like, 8 times a day, then getting home and trying to get to bed, it was just horrendous.
And it just devours your whole job, doesn't it?
You know when you're going to, trying to go to sleep?
Yeah.
Did that affect your sleep as well? Like,
can do, yeah, you can just wake up and think, did I do that? Did I check the cookers off?
I've always found with our trade, I'm not taking anything away from any other trade, but if you've got a problem with plumbing, it will damage your house. Electrics, it will trip out.
Well, you see the, and nothing, you know, nothing will come on. The news and there's been a gas explosion or something.
Whereas, with ours, a gas explosion, or if you haven't tightened a nut and it leaks, it'll bring ceilings down and do proper damage. Whereas electricians, it will just trip out.
Yeah, they have no lights.
So that's why I've done it over the years.
It depends if it's Bundy's work, then it blows the house.
He'll love that. but yeah, with our job, it is a very, it can cause proper damage.
Yeah, it can, yeah. So
and that's what plays in your mind. I've had it, plays in your mind.
So yeah.
Now I don't give a shit.
MJT 25.
Yeah, use me discount. If you want a new house, use me discount.
So yeah, I got myself back to work.
But with the company, say, working back with the company.
Yeah, it's with the company. But then it got worse. So I went back to the doctor. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just double the medication.
Your face was like mine. I was like, what year is that?
So this was like 2011.
Because that's I don't know now, but like the last few times I visited ours and I speak to people over there, they're like, I don't know whether it's because it's sunshine or whatever, but you don't really hear people going, oh, I'm on antidepressants as much over there as like. Yeah,
we get that syndrome, don't we? Did
I always feel like that's the just get rid of people, go on these. Whereas I don't know whether over there it's like, oh, the sun's out a bit more, or
oh, mate, the sun makes me happier,
you're outdoors a bit more, so you're not, you know.
Yeah.
But that just
that's all it did was just double the medication. So I went off work, really got onto like drink really bad. It got to a point where it just, I don't know what to do myself, and that was blocking it out. Mm. Fast forward.
But you're not supposed to drink on antidepressants either, are you?
No, but the way
not
I was
double speaking, them either.
No, yeah.
Yeah, some old
party around Luke's house at the time.
So yeah, I was back and forth with the doctors, back and forth with my company.
One thing before I go on, I was going to say, because if somebody's sober and we're all having a drink,
it's absolutely fine. Right.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, cheers.
I'll be honest with you.
if somebody's got an issue with you, mate, you don't dangle that carrot in front of somebody's face. And he's like, top of the morning to you.
So yeah, fast forward. I had 9 months off work, I had to take. Right. It got to a point where they were talking about medically retiring me. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. So how old are you at this point?
Early 20s.
That's a big blow, isn't it, to come in?
Say. Yeah, like from the age of 16, working with my dad, like passed my gas when I was 18, got my first house when I was 20, went to Vegas on a really good holiday when I was 21. I always set myself these goals and that, you know what I mean, to achieve. Then all of a sudden I hit this. I've got this mental health condition. I don't know what to do myself.
Just going back to that, what would you have done if they'd have said, no more plumbing? What other things? Because that's the other thing, is when you're so interested in one thing and that happens, it's a bit like people that come out of the army.
That's
all I've been doing.
It's all they know.
And then it's like, what do I do with myself? Do you know what I mean? What would you have done in that
situation? I don't know. It would have been like, I think... If they said, you can't do that no more, I think what would have happened was I would have got like a final job or something, and it would have manifested onto something else. Mm. Like, because it was at work, it would have got worse at home. So it needed addressing. I really needed help, but I couldn't get it. I don't know what kind of help was out there, and I don't know where to turn to. Mm. It took me my third doctor, and I went in once, and they said, you need therapy. Mm. So I know somebody, like, we'll get you password. And
but your third doctor, fair play to you going to the third one,
figure it out. I don't want to be on antidepressants, I really do not.
Long-term medication is not good.
It's just annoying that your first doctor didn't give you that option.
No, my second. Yeah. This is like, how's the antidepressants going? Yeah. I'm like, I'm great. If I don't miss them, but when I miss them, I feel like, you feel like crap.
But even in like the mental state that you're in, to even go, nah, this is not right, and then go to a third doctor.
So you knew there was something that needed sorting.
I mean, I was at home for 9 months, and I'm not one of these people.
Was it your new missus as well that pushed you to?
Yeah, I mean, she was like a rock. She's seen the darkest side to me, and she's always stood there and helped me get support and that. And she always like helped me out. And I think when they said, look, 9 months off, you might not have to go to work, and it kind of like got me like, right, I've got to do something, I've got to get help. And so the third doctor said, you need therapy. I went to see somebody, and she actually spoke to me about it. Said, okay, what am I doing? What do you think's going to happen? And she just said, right, what I want you to do, I just want you to try little things. Like, it said, like a plug, and there's a plug next to her, and she turned it off, and I couldn't stop looking at it. She goes, what do you think's going to happen? I was like, if I don't do something with it, like, I think it's going
to
start.
What did you want to do? What at that point then would you have wanted to do with that?
Turn it back off and just, that's off. That's right, off, definitely off. So you just have to do like these stupid little sequences. I said, what do you think's going to happen? I says, well, I think it's going to, something bad's going to happen. I says, well, I'll tell you what, do your best. Don't just drive away from here. You know what? If there's a fight, it'll be on the news. Yeah, that's what she said.
Really?
Yeah. She said he'll be on this. I said if you try, I think
imagine if there was, he would have sent you over the edge.
Yeah, you know,
he would have. He said, look, it's going to be on news.
He's thinking worst case scenario.
You know the notification, the Sky News, on your phone.
I'll tell you what, I got home at 6 o'clock and I watched that news.
But I don't think people realise how debilitating.
Yeah.
Like, just to get out of your house, and it take you an extra half an hour because you've got to go through that.
Oh, it's 2 hours sometimes. 2 hours, and you're just constantly fighting in your head. You know it ain't right, but you've got to do it. Because if you don't do it, you can't function the rest of the day. Once you've done it, you're out the air. It's like, oh, brilliant.
I mean, stuff like this, I always, you know, it's hard for somebody to come on and talk about those things because you've sort of basically been open with everybody and saying, I've had an issue with this. But I always find actually it's really good because there's probably somebody else.
Yeah.
Who sat there listening or watching it thinking, well, I'm going through the same thing. I've just been stuck on tablets. Or somebody's got a mental health issue and they're probably like, well, I had the same thing. I just keep getting stuck on tablets.
That's it, yeah.
You just keep going back to the doctor or finding somebody.
If you know you've got a mental health condition and you need help, you've got to push through it. Mm. You really are. Well, that's what I found when I was going through it. And with the therapy, it worked. It really worked. Mm. But it might sound a bit weird. I watched a film called Beautiful Mind.
It's cracking. Yeah.
You know that moment when he realises that it's all in his head?
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, this is in my head. Mm. This is all in my head. And I
thought, like an epiphany.
Yeah, it was like...
Long way.
Okay, so I can learn to live with it.
You got 11 GCSEs, man. Or 13.
No. I was a f***ing milkman at 16, mate. Shout out to Church Farm Brewery.
So yeah, I've seen that and I thought, you know what? I'm never going to get rid of this. It's always going to be a part of me. I've got to learn to live with it.
Mm.
So the antidepressants, you can't just come off them. You've got to wean yourself off. So all I did was, next time I went to the doctor, give me the antidepressants, and I halved it. So I just halved it, then halted it.
As well, because I feel like once you get on that pathway of having tablets, is people then panic having to take that away.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you've got to start reducing your tablets. Or what am I, you know, you almost condition yourself to fear maybe coming off them.
Yeah, you do, yeah. I knew I had to do something, so I was like, right, come on, we're going to get off these tablets and we're going to fight these things.
Do you mind me asking, are you off them now?
Yeah, I'm off them, yeah.
Do you feel better for
Yeah, yeah, it was a year that it took me just to fight in my head, try and live with it, but now I'm at a stage now where I can live with it now. There's some days that I'm better than most. Mm. There's some days where, oh no, I can lose the battle, I'll have to go back to a customer there or something like that, but I can live with it.
So you're still creeping a little bit?
Yeah, it can do at home as well. Like the other night, I must have checked the back door about 5 times. But when it happens, I'll just go, right, it's okay, it's fine, it's just a blip. Just get it out of your head, you've done that, move on.
And will your missus just leave you?
Yeah, she just knows. Yeah. If she is me walking around downstairs, like, she just knows, leave him alone, he's all right.
I think the thing is, if she was to go at you, it'd probably trigger it.
It would become
a thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you're trying to concentrate. If anyone disturbs that, you'd end up like snapping her head off. You'd end up getting mental because you just want to get it done so you can carry on. But I've learned to live with it now. It's got to a point where no medication, no therapy. I can live with it.
One thing I'm going to jump onto, which you touched on earlier, is obviously going to the awards, because I remember you talking to us outside and saying had a bit of imposter syndrome. Obviously now listening to your story.
Yeah.
This is the first time you've ever spoke about that.
Do you know what?
Like, when I started
exclusive.
When I started doing this, because I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I chat shit for a living. I quite enjoy that side, and I speak to so many people on social. See you at shows. You don't actually ever get to know that person or the things that are important to them or what make them tick. So I love it when somebody comes onto the show and it's actually like...
Yeah.
That's what I love about small businesses as well. You hear about these things from small businesses. Like, obviously, it's great news like with big businesses and things like that, but you would never know that. Like, you rock up to service a boiler about that person. You know,
it's just knowing that little bit more info. You see people's persona on Instagram and YouTube and you start drilling in and getting that little bit of information is what people want to hear.
These are the things as well, when you get somebody that trolls the shit out of you and people don't realise, that's why it's always like, just, you never know what somebody else is going through behind the screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because somebody might send you a message
yeah.
on the day where you know you're struggling again.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I have it on some posts sometimes. Some people, but I think I've done the boiler the other week, and it was all done. But the shocker vest, I've run the pipe so it come in the middle, so it just looked nice. It wasn't my LCD. It just looked nice, and someone put that's a little LCD, eh?
obviously they don't know, but at the same time, this is why I feel like this show, because obviously originally when I started it, I thought, well, I'll Pete on or you guys to do the trade side, because you can talk about tools. I don't really know about tools.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Lights. But the, know much about lights?
Well, I know about electronics, but anything else I don't really know about. But like, I just enjoy listening, because I talk to so many people. Yeah, I could talk to you at that show, and it's like now actually feel like I know you.
Yeah. But at the show, you would never have got a backstory. I mean,
I knew he liked
Tassie
Rules, because he was watching the game.
He had a computer like that.
It was basically like, nice to meet you, White Teeth, but I've got to watch this show.
Yeah, what was that? But sorry, Luke, I've spoke to Luke before, but I didn't know any of that.
No, I believe
that. So it just gives you that little insight, which is great.
But that's one thing I want to congratulate you on, is to even be considered in the same group as some of the people last night, but obviously people not knowing your scenario, like, fair play to you.
So last night you was obviously nominated beyond the Tools Awards for Plumber of the Year.
I was waiting for you to go Electrician of the Year.
Plumber of the Year. So and also only having your own business for the last 2 years, and social media for a year.
Yeah,
it's a massive thing. So just talk us through that.
So to then come off the antidepressants, was it then that you decided to do your own thing?
Yeah, so I'll quickly jump to where we are. So I was 26 at the time. Mm. I'm off antidepressants. I'm coping with my LCD. The company I'm with is going bust. There is a common theme here. Every company I've ever worked for has gone bust, near enough. Mm. And I got an opportunity to go with... Mine's doing all right, to be fair, at the moment.
Got any jobs going?
Yeah, the lights are turning off.
Ryan's just pulled the plug on the boots.
No more Big Boots.
Yeah, sponsoring him.
They've got a job at Big Bastard then. No,
so 26, got the opportunity to go and work for British Gas. Which
I was about to say, they were going busted.
And that's why I left.
The hatchet.
When I left, their shares went like that. Oh my God. It's a yummy yum effect, are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. No, you're not.
When I was 26, I got the opportunity to go work at British Gas, but I nearly didn't. I nearly didn't take the opportunity because at the time we had a 1-year-old and he was very, very sick at the time. He had eczema, like proper bad eczema. Like, he was wrapped from wrist to all over his body. Yeah. It was horrendous. But what I said, this is a big opportunity. You've got to take it. So I went down there 4 weeks, done all the training and that. And yeah, that's when I found my calling, was breakdowns. Mm. Absolutely loved it. It just makes my mind tick. So I've done 8 years with British Gas. Managed to save up for an house.
You would have used one of our head torches for that.
He's always on the he's always on the sound. Yeah.
And the little
you're wearing our boots during that time, aren't you? Because
using my discount code at that point. Back then we used to supply British Gas.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We used to get the in like stuff, and then they had all cutbacks.
Is that when it was the blue logo?
And then they had cutbacks and went for these shit ones.
Yeah, we all chopped us out. Mate, we went mad at that, we did.
Chopped us out.
Yeah.
Got rid of our head torches,
We used to order like 5 at a time.
He was loving it. He bought his teeth.
I've got British grass, British gas. Put your teeth back in now. I was going to say I've got British gas tattooed on the back of these bad boys.
You'd have got it out the first time, we'd have worked a treat.
I was like, British Gas, no, put your teeth back in.
So yeah, what was it? British Gas. I'll say breakdowns were my calling, and I got to a point where I don't want to blow my own trumpet, was one of the best engineers on site. Like, if you had a problem with a boiler, it was me.
You was the go-to guy.
Yeah, if someone was like, if a boiler was on like a 7th, 8th, 9th visit, it was like, right, get him in. So I'd go around doing that. And I wanted to push on to management and try and make a difference there, but it didn't work out. At the time, we just bought our first house, quite a big mortgage. The wife had just signed up to college.
Is that where they try to get you to all renegotiate your contracts?
Yeah. Just as we bought the house, more flat, it's like, right, we're going to renegotiate the contracts. And then they pulled the fine rehire. So basically, it was like, we're going to rip up your contracts. you're going to be on less money, you got to work more hours. So yeah, we went through all that, and towards Christmas, they were still pushing with it. It was stressing my wife out because they were saying, look, you got to sign the contract. And we thought,
yeah, it was rightly Christmas, wasn't it? They were turning the screw, I remember.
Yeah. And, like, and they put the deadline 23rd December. It's like, you lose the job, you start signing by then.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
That is unbelievable.
And I think about 4 weeks before as well, my nan died, and like, I was really close to my nan, and I had my manager follow me up saying, you signed the contract yet? I was like, mate, you mentioned that contract one more time, we should be fine. You know what I mean? That's how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
They didn't pull the trigger, so we went on strike in the January till the March. So you can imagine, like, I just bought an house and I'm only getting 3 days' money now. The wife's bought hours down because she's at college. She ended up having to have time off work as well because she's suffering mental health. She's stressed, like, hey, we're going to fall in March and that. I said, okay, I'm not setting foot through that door on a strike day. I'm going to hold my ground. I was probably one of the few ones that took it right up until the final day. And then I had to sign. Other than that, like, I wouldn't have had a job. So I just bided my time. And in November, I was on my own, set up my own company. I thought, right then, I've always had a vision of how a company should run. Now I can do it by myself. I can have that, that customer service, look after my customers and stuff like that.
And did your missus back you doing your own business?
100%. Yeah. She was right behind me. She should have done it years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you've always made them rich. And like, you're a really good engineer.
I was going to say, it's the safety net of working for a company in a regular wage, but you didn't have that. With the British Gas thing and hanging over your head. Why would you not do it?
I think there was rumours of that circulated in the August before. So then I think when they started trying to get you to sign contracts was September time.
It was it started the firing really right just after COVID in July. I think we had a break. They reopened or something, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna do the firing really right. They're trying to make us sign it in September up until December, and then they put it to the April, and I never thought they'd do it.
So they basically, what they wanted to do was Centrica was hemorrhaging money. I mean, they were spending, like, some of the engineers, when you used to go around the warehouse, they'd have, like, lip balm for them, suntan cream. They had, like, the engineers were so pampered, but it was, like, basically, rather than keeping the standards high...
Rather than keeping the standards high,
the first thing the British Gas did, and this is, like, no slight on them, because obviously I've dealt with them for years, was they just went, right, OK, we're going to just chop costs on absolutely... They went from a head torch that was probably 20 quid to them to a head torch that was £3.50. So what ends up happening is these guys then start getting disgruntled, thinking, well, you're not giving us the gear to actually carry out a decent job to a high level or standard. Then customers start to complain. Then obviously you start to hemorrhage customers. And then once you start hemorrhaging customers, the first thing then that they start looking at is, how can we cut costs even more, rather than thinking, well, actually, how can we improve customer service? So then they started going, right, we're going to fire and rehire. So you either sign this new contract working for less money, or for the same money but doing more hours.
Is it a zero-hour contract they're offering?
Or we'll get rid of you.
It was basically like, if you got called out, you was on call, and so if you got called out, like, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, you get double time. Because you're getting out of bed, you want double time, don't you? That was going to get down to a time and a third. We used to work 37.5 hours. They wanted that to go up to
42.
For that, for no extra money. So we agreed, like I said, we will have pay rise for 3 years. This was in 2020, yeah. So it was going 2020, yeah. So look, people have been asked, we don't need to put your price up, so we won't put our wage up for 3 years. And I was like, no, that's not good enough. So they just pulled the phone and we are. So I was just like, so I couldn't work for a company like that.
Like you said, they lost so many good engineers.
Not just engineers, because obviously when I was dealing with the category buyers there, our original category buyer, he got chopped. Then they rehired him as a consultant. Then they chopped him again. Then basically half the office, when I went in there, that I used to speak to, because you go in, you chat to people, don't you? And you, hello. And then you went back in. I was like, well, where's that half of the office? Oh, they've all gone.
Right.
Mobile phones, leases on cars, everything. Bum, 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 bum.
All because they stopped buying
you guys. That was it, mate.
They've
got rid of them
torches. The power.
That's all because they hired Luke.
I was like, I've never torched in a week.
The hatchet, man.
Honestly, I swear to God, the shares, when I left, went boom. Basically, like, I swear they did. I don't know. But like British Gas, their problem
was... The Jim Cramer of British Gas.
That's exactly him. He's shocking, isn't he?
You like shares from Mark, looking like that.
He's so funny.
But British Gas' problem was, from the outside looking in, was the gas and electric. Gas and electric hemorrhaged money. Yeah. Service and repair.
It was residential, wasn't it?
It was the gas and electric. It was losing the money. Yeah. And if they'd held on, they would have been all right. It was probably one of the worst years of my life. Like, I lost my nan. Wife, mental health suffered. My son was going through a diagnostic. We found out he's got autism.
Right, okay.
So we was going through all that and everything. So I said, I can't work for a company like that. I'm going to set up on my own.
So, ladies and gents, I want to say a big, big thank you to one of our show sponsors, which is Tradeify. Now, most of you will probably already have heard of Tradeify, and it's an app that will help you streamline your business. It will save you time, invoicing quotes, all that sort of thing. It's all in there. So if you want to spend more time on the tools and less time doing the paperwork, which, frankly, nobody likes doing paperwork, Tradeify is the app for you. Now, if you click this link above, you're going to get yourself a 14-day free trial. And because we are confident, just as much as Tradeify are, you don't even need to enter any payment details to get that free trial. But if you enter code TRADELEGENDS, you'll get a massive 50% off for the first 3 months when you subscribe. So stop wasting your time and get back on the tools and save yourself a bit of time in the process and some money. Again, going back to this imposter syndrome thing, yeah. Like when you're saying like all the stuff that's sort of dumb, to get to even be nominated, that's nice.
And then they didn't know about it either.
To be honest with you,
I think you won.
Put yourself on the back.
Dan Tempest, this guy should have won it.
Sorry, Dan.
The thing is, I didn't want that log on the thingy, like Luke's battle between these.
I want him to work the X Factor thing, innit? Look at his backstory. You want to win on your merits.
I'm on merit, yeah. So now they take the way, I can actually share that and say, this is log. Looking back on it, I've been through some shit, man. I really have. I've got a mental health condition. My son with the eczema, that was horrendous. That is sorted, yeah. But then he got the diagnosis of autism, which isn't a problem. It's manageable. He's the cleverest little lad he'll ever meet. It was just everything I look back on, and I've come through the other side.
It does.
And so a year on my own, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go into social media. I can't remember what I seen. I think it's like some landscaper.
I was waiting for you to go, discount code. I thought, I want a piece of that.
I want a bit of that pie.
That looks all right, that does.
I think okay, then. Obviously, you've only been in social a short time.
Yeah.
Like, what type of stuff, then, do you like to watch? Because I love watching, you know, like the gardening ones where they trim the edges.
Yeah.
And then they like tidy up the lawns and they get the blood. There's an Aussie guy. I can't remember what his name
is. He does lawns. He goes for free,
And he's
said, mate, your lawn's a mess. I want to clean that for nothing.
I just love it. Yeah, I could watch him tidy a garden.
Yeah. So I love a good bush trim, don't you?
Yeah. The landscapers are really good. I do like watching them. Pool guy.
Yeah.
He's very favorite.
He's good, isn't he? Yeah. And also, there's a drain guy as well.
Yeah,
he's nuts, isn't he?
There's some mega content. Yeah,
there is some good content. So
there's some shit as well.
I can't remember what video it was. I can't remember who it was, but it was like a landscape video, and he'd done like a time lapse.
Yeah. One that you shouldn't watch because I feel like I'm almost overcritical of stuff. Is that new build home quality control or whatever his name is? Absolutely shocking.
The Welsh bloke.
We've had the one guy from there on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a great guy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think I just seen a video like that, and I thought I want to have a go at that. Mm. But I didn't know how to do it. I thought, how do you do this? How do you put the videos together?
TikTok's your biggest one, isn't it?
TikTok's my biggest one, yeah. So I had to play about with TikTok, and to start with, you can have a look at these on my profile if you want them.
You weren't dancing with you?
No, I've never danced.
In front of like a breakdown.
Don't stop it.
There's water going through the roof. It's dropping down. You got to cut that.
Yeah. Make a meme of our dances, please.
So my first TikToks were like, here's the boiler before, click the fingers, and here's the boiler after, which looking back on it, normally, you know.
Waiting for you to do the British, you know, the British gas slum.
Oh, with the flames.
Oh, the flames, yeah.
Sid, wasn't it, back in the day?
So I'll start with them, but I wanted to show what I do in a day. So the first ever one I can remember is a year ago tomorrow. It's first time at our class.
It's all dropping into place, isn't it?
So it was a cylinder change in a loft, and I had to get the cylinder out of the loft and up the loft, and I just took some videos, spoke through it, showed them what I did, and the next day it was like 1,000 views and 100 followers. I was like, that's mint.
Yeah.
So who's watching this crap?
I get that every week.
Needs that as a sure honest thing.
I was like, mint. Who's watching this shit?
You. TikTok's a funny game though, isn't it? Like, I've tried TikTok. Like, I'm shocking, but I did this one video. It was like Steel Blue ad, and it was all the like parts. Like, it looked like Iron Man's foot coming together from everywhere, yeah. And it was just me like holding the camera up, going like,
brilliant.
1.6 million views.
Was it?
And I was like,
we try really hard.
all my videos now, like 200. I'm just like, how the hell do I recreate that?
It's always the one that you think is crap.
It is, man.
You just throw out for the sake of it.
I had about seven beers. I'm sitting there in front of the camera with dog line. I literally
just
did
it. You've had a few tonight. We are recreating.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And then, yeah, you just see it. But like, it's such a huge reach, TikTok, man.
It is,
like,
yeah. It's massive. It is getting massive.
I think you're right. I'm still on the fence with TikTok. I don't. It's. I'm
having
a go.
Enough dancing, mate.
Oh, I just don't.
To be fair though, like 1.6 million views. I've got people like speaking to me in like Portuguese and like Spanish and Chinese, and they like message me for boots, and I'm like, gee, sorry, man, I don't think it's distributed to South America. Because it's not very local. Obviously, you can target with like Facebook and Instagram and things like that, but TikTok is just global.
Goes wild.
Yeah. Oh, just some random stuff will go, won't it?
It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Some of the stuff I post, and I think that's crap, and it's just gone. Crazy.
Well, and then the time when you put a load of effort into something and it don't hit, you're like,
what's the biggest?
2.7 million.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
I wasn't going to do social media. I wasn't going to talk in them. I'm just going to show my work because I'm going back again now. I do realise that sometimes it can be hard to understand me. It's just the yam yam accent. I do talk out the side of my mouth. It's because when I was younger.
What accent is it, by the way?
Yeah, it's called the yam yam.
What's that?
Black country.
Oh, right.
Don't ever say he's from Birmingham.
No, don't say that. I went to Dudley once.
Dudley.
And I couldn't. This Sheila was speaking to me. I couldn't understand. Sheila. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I could not understand a
jam
word.
Because you're calling her Sheila, her name's Karen.
Yeah. Oh, I could not understand a word.
Where was that, Dudley? You were near Dudley, aren't you?
Yeah, okay, right. I'm with you now.
Honestly, like,
whereabouts are you from?
I grew up in a town called Wensbury, which is right next to Tipton. Which is by Dudley. Yeah. But I'm having to concentrate not to go full yam yam, because if I went full yam yam, you just wouldn't understand me.
I thought like yam yams were like a thing you get from Greggs.
Yeah, no, yum-yums.
What are they?
Yum-yums.
Goes into Greg's. Couple of yum-yums, mate.
Some guy next to you. You what, pal?
He's Scottish. Especially in Hales Owen. He's like, a couple of yum-yums, mate.
Yeah, with social media, I wasn't going to do it because, like I said, I do realise I talk outside of moves, because when I was younger, they actually realised I had three sets of teeth. I had one top set, bottom set, and a set behind it.
Luke, you've got
four
to say,
surprises,
this is,
mate.
This is like, yeah.
So what below, had to do?
Below in my mind.
So I had to go to the dental hospital. They had to knock out the front of my teeth, cut the roof of my mouth, pull the teeth out. But because my
how's that? You paid a fortune for
your teeth.
I got three.
I've had your
sorry, Luke.
That's all right. Because my adult teeth, because I was only 10 at the time, my adult teeth wouldn't pull through. They had to drill up into my jaw, put chains on it that dangled down into my mouth. Then I had a retainer put in. So I put the retainer in, and my mom every morning had to get a pair of tweezers, pull these chains and hook them onto the brace so it would pull my teeth down. And I had to do that for 18 months.
Jesus.
And because my mouth
best
was full
guest
of,
ever.
So because my mouth was full of like metal and it hurt sometimes, I just talked at the corner of my mouth and it kind of impeded
do you
my
know
speech.
What? I
kind of
wish that he'd gone on X Factor, because what a story. Simon Cowell would just be
so that was 18 months of life like that, and like obviously like kids and cruel like and stuff like that. Like, I did, you know what, I thought to myself, I think I had another epiphany. I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna put my stuff out there and see what happens. And when at the start, I do look back on it, and if you hear me talk, you can tell I'm putting it on a little bit. But you know, after a bit of time, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna be me.
Yeah. If you're not being you on social media,
Like I said, I've said a lot of things on here that nobody knows of, and I didn't want people to know. I wanted people to follow, like, my content for the content, not for the sympathy backstory, because everyone's got a sob story. People have been through a lot.
I get that, but I think the thing is with the show is when you listen to somebody, you can sort of actually go, oh, yeah, I remember one time where I thought, why is he talking like that?
And
then people connect the dots and they actually go, well, you're a bit more personal. It's like when you're talking about being accessible, you want to be personable to people so that people think, do you know what? I messaged him on a Saturday night. His boots might be £2 more expensive to buy from him, but the service that I get from him is...
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And you start getting to know the people. People be on screen,
People probably sit there now and think, do you know what, actually, fair play to you.
But I wouldn't even call that yours like a sob story. It's just like a full-on story.
It's like the red book of This Is Your Life.
I didn't know any of it. We get Luke on, didn't know any of it. I don't know anyone months ago.
It's different as well to what you do here a lot.
Yeah.
So TikTok started to take off, and I remember getting my first trolls on there, and it really affected me, to be honest with you.
It really
got into my brain, yeah. And it was affecting my sleep and that, honestly. Some of the comments.
So it sort of took you back.
It took me back, yeah. And I was like, I'm having this. I was like, right, it don't matter.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, TikTok is. I used to think Twitter was viral.
Mate, it's brutal.
TikTok is
just still, I still have not. We say this a lot, don't we? I still never.
Your nose looks like my dick.
To be honest, I haven't received that one yet.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who's on my thing going on TikTok? I said, I will never read a comment or reply to a comment. I haven't.
Yeah,
I've never done it because I'm
going to make you bite. I'm going to set up a phone
chat. Make you through some. Honestly,
you're trolling him.
And I've never.
I'm going to have to set up a fake account and just troll him.
Troll the shit out of him.
Jasper. Jasper Tippins.
It was a thing for me. My thing, I enjoy Instagram and YouTube's my main thing. But TikTok, I think you've got to be very TikTok.
Did you actively think, right, I'll try social media, but TikTok was the first one?
Yeah, just stumbled across it. I liked it. TikTok's editing. You can do edit. I know you can tell a story in a couple of minutes. That's what I liked. And I'll try and revolve my stories, like trying to show people what it's like in the daily life or try and help people with little hints and tips here and there. And that's the way I progressed it. And yeah, I think by the Christmas, I was on 3,000 followers, which I was absolutely buzzing. I was like, no way, this is great. Mm-hmm. And in the new year, I had a set of taps to replace, and there was the opposite side of the bath. You know what I'm like?
Yeah.
Then the worst type of tap. You can't get to them. I could not get to these taps, so I had a light bulb moment. I was like, right, if I can't go under, I'm going to go through the wall.
Mm.
I'll cut the wall out. Got in there, got change of taps, and put an inspection panel on. And everyone's like, that's amazing. 2.7 million.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
So that's when TikTok really took off, and that pushed me up to 10K. And I was on a training course at my old college in Birmingham. So I thought, oh, this is going to be a brilliant one. Like, take me back all them years to college. So I'd done a video on the Baxi training day. Then a couple of weeks later, Baxi found me up. I was like, we're releasing a new boiler. We want you to be part of it.
Brilliant.
I was like, no way. I thought, I've always loved Baxi boilers.
This is another thing as well, because obviously we sit like, sorry to keep putting it. Right. I mean, we talk about social media all the time on here, and I get some people, they even try and be like, oh, you ever talk about social media on here? But like, people don't realise the opportunity that arises to you from you just going, I'm going to put my work on a social media platform. So now you're working with manufacturers want to come through, and you know, a lot of people be cynical, oh, well, they're only using you because they want to make money. But they're giving you an opportunity to see things, go to factories, have training days, and learn about.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
You're definitely getting a free pair of boots out of this.
I've done all that as well, right?
There's a bit of boots going everywhere. You get a pair of boots.
I don't even need boots. I want
some. Yeah, the whole point of that video is show people, look, this is a Baxi training day. This is what show. Yeah, get yourself on one. And on the back of that, Baxi said, yeah, do you want to fit a new boiler? I was like, oh, yeah, I'll see when I've got next one. No, we'll send you the boiler. I was like, really? I was like, yeah, do the boiler.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, then I was like, oh, yeah, I've done it, sent the footage off. And I was like, do you want to come down for the live launch? I was like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. I was like, absolutely, I'll be honest. So I went down there. That's when I first met Pointer. He was the first social media person that I met. What an introduction into social media he was. He just said, "Who you?
Who you? That brings on to the whole imposter thing that you was getting at. So you got nominated for the on the tools of war.
Yeah,
put your teeth in, Mark.
Borrow yours out. So you fell last night. So it was last night at Edgebaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Edgebaster. Yeah, it was a big event, man.
So how did that come about? Did someone nominate you for that?
Yeah, I seen it floating about, and it was like, get your nominations in, and I had the phone call off and I was like, yeah, you've been nominated for the award. I was like, at the time, no, we're being serious.
Brilliant.
I was like, wow, okay. I was like, can I bring the wife? I was like, yeah.
She's a proper black tie.
Yeah, I was like, do you get food and food and that? I was like, I'll
bring a packed lunch.
Find the wife. I was like, bad date night.
I'm taking you out. I've got this.
It backfired a little bit. She was like, oh, is it an awards? I was like, yeah, it's an awards, yeah. So she went out, we've got a new dress. Like, how much of that? I was like, £400.
Yeah. You're like, sorry, baby, it's been cancelled.
She did look.
Leave the tag in. Leave the tag in.
Leave the tag in.
Well, actually, yeah, when I was helping you into it, I was like, can I just tuck this tag in here? She's cut it off. I was like, crying.
£400 snip.
Yeah. I'll wear it again. Never wears it again.
Yeah. So yeah, I just got nominated for it, and I think it just spoke about like, I've done a bit of work with Plumfest. That was Sam's idea.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, he asked me to help out. So I was getting in touch with companies and that said, look, we're trying to raise some money for mental health and that. You get a lot of knockbacks, but we've got a few companies there. Within a month, we've got a few people there. And yeah, we've been raising like £2,000 for a mental health charity. And yeah, like I said, I've never shared this on social media because I wanted my own mates to come forward. And I feel like now that I've been nominated for the award, okay, I didn't win it, but I got there in a year.
Off your own merits, without anyone knowing what you said.
He'd be a good one to introduce to Rob.
Yeah, Rob, Mind Red Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy, Rob.
He'd be a good one to go on his podcast.
Yeah. I've gone from like 23 years old being told we might have to mentally retire to being up for Plum of the Year.
Award nominee.
Yeah, award nominee for Plum of the Year. So,
TikTok sensation.
TikTok sensation, award
nominee.
It's been
a whirlwind. Like, I had to...
Spending £400 on dresses.
I just thought, hide my suit, £120, that'll do, put it on the business account. Yeah, it's
work uniform.
That's it. It's been a crazy.
So you've had a whirlwind year then.
It has been absolutely crazy. I've met some great people in social media,
and then you and Dan have started a bit of a podcast live thing on TikTok as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so me and Dan met through social media. I think he put one of my videos. He's like, "Oh, great work! I love your stuff." I was like, "Mate, I love your stuff," and like we met up. Oh no, you're so great, man. So we met up in Staller, and I said, "How are you doing? You're right." And before I knew it, we'd been talking for an hour, and I was like, "Oh, so yeah, we got in touch afterwards." And he said, "Mate, we should do a podcast, man. Some of the stuff we talk about, we should just get you." I said, "You know what? We'll just go live one night on TikTok," and we've done it. And we just kept it up ever since. And it kind of like got on. It's like, should we get some people on to talk to? And yeah, it's been really good to start that as well. So like I said, like when I started social media, I had it in the back of my head. I was like, just go for it, just go out there, be yourself, don't let anyone knock you down. It's either going to work or not. And
if you're yourself on social media, you'll do all right.
If you're trying
to be something you ain't.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I'll stick everything out there, whether it's good, bad, whatever. It's my work. Like, you know what I mean? I've like,
you're always going to get a troll, mate.
Once you get trolled, mate, you made it.
Yeah, exactly. I reckon exactly the same. It's always going to be some bloke in a basement somewhere.
That's
It's going to be in with a mood email account.
So when I started social media, I set myself goals, and I call them bad goals, big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yeah.
Like, I always say, if you want to earn a million, aim for 10, because you'll pass a million on the way. So I said with TikTok, 20,000. I got that last week. I said, well, I started YouTube in May. I said 2,000 by the end of the year. That's nearly on 3. And I said with Instagram, 1,000. And that's like on 940. So I've
I reckon by the time this goes out, we can...
Oh. We'll bum you up.
So yeah, it has been...
All the links in the description below.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like I said, I feel like an elephant stuck in a tree. Like, I don't know how I've got here, but I ain't getting down yet.
He's full of little sound bites, isn't he?
We could have waited for that for his final thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Should we go to them then?
Yeah, final thought. Well, he's done it.
Do you want to hear TikTok?
Have you been... have you found a shit one?
Yeah.
Go on.
Hang on.
It took me ages. I found one shit.
So what video is it? What?
So it is...
Get Mark to read it out.
Handy plumbing tip.
Come on, Nathan, remember last time? This podcast was great, but who's that guy laughing? you got trolled. You got your own trolls.
So it's that handy plumbing hack for...
Right, okay. So to put it into context, I put a pipe through a wall, put two Talon clips on the end of it to stop it moving within a wall. When you put in a...
Yeah, so you've got a sensor perfect.
So you've got a sensor perfect. It's not going to move it. Okay.
Good tip.
Yeah, it's great.
Good tip, Luke.
Yeah, it's great tip.
Good tip. Okay.
Yeah. Tips, top
well,
tips.
This is what Bob Lawrence has to say.
Am I going
to
like Bob Lawrence? Am I going to like Robert?
You can give him a response afterwards.
From Croydon, sat in his pants.
It's Bob Lawrence 149.
Okay.
Call yourself a plumber.
Do you know what he's 149?
Big opener, Bob. Big opener, Bob. Let's go hard now.
Call yourself a plumber. Yeah. The HEP will have a hole in it within a year or two. Expansion and contraction. Full stop. No protection. No protection in the timber. Full stop.
Bob's going for me.
Apprentice, comma. Yes? Question mark.
Oh, he's got all of it. He's got commas, question marks, exclamation marks.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
How do you want to respond to that?
You, Bob.
Okay.
That's the first one I've ever heard.
No, is it?
First one
they're
I've
all
ever
like
heard.
That, he's
you just put, I know Luke,
13 Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Bob Blue Bulldog Plum is coming for you, Bob.
Bob is definitely Australian.
Yeah. Bob's got to be an Aussie.
He is an Aussie.
So, yeah, normally around about this time, we go into a bit of, like, it's like a Jerry Springer final thought. Any advice, or if you want to plug yourself shamelessly to get yourself over that 1,000 on Instagram.
He'll be up there.
Or any, you got, like, new products?
Some new gear coming out, right?
Anything you're going to launch, or anything to get the punters?
Shit, you put me on the spot here, eh? Yeah. Now, we do have... I'm actually about to invest in my first ever container from Australia full of workwear and boots, which is a huge investment for us and big risk. We're actually going to a new category as well, not just workwear, but going into like jackets and coats that with their stuff to try and break into the UK market. It's an Australian brand, obviously.
What's better or what's good about
they? The pricing is going to be very competitive and they offer a 3-year guarantee. Which is very different to a lot of people here. So, pretty excited about that. Pretty nervous as well.
Is that sort of pending New Year?
No, that's with dotted lines of sign. We're just
on the sea.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool.
The Atlantic with the Atlantic, it's going through.
Which way would it go? Which way? It depends where it comes from. Yeah. So no, it won't go across the Atlantic. I think we'll go north.
It's the other way, Pacific.
Yeah.
Specific. The specific
11 GSEs was it?
No, that's it. I'm not going to get fucking any, mate.
Oh, no, but like yeah.
D in geography.
Must try harder.
Which is exciting for us, but
you've got the North and South Pole mixed up.
That's right. It's just, yeah, the Earth is flat, mate.
Oh, don't, because I've fouled down a rabbit hole with...
YouTube,
I clearly know the Earth is round, but you watch some of those... You watch some of those videos, and you watch them, and you go, do you know what? I can see where you're going with that.
The algorithm is working for him.
I know it's round. I'm not stupid. Nathan, I'm not stupid. I know it's round. But you watch some of these conspiracy things, and you're like, do you know what? How might this not be dead?
I can start off with watching, like, I don't know, a quad bike on YouTube, and by the end of it, I'm like,
I know, you're watching,
there's
like,
aliens in Mars, and there's an invasion coming on this day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, about that mental time, when your head gets blown, it's like, yeah, it's time for bed.
Yeah. The missus goes, put the iPad down, dear.
Put the iPad down, Al. Get to bed.
So, yeah, pretty exciting, but no, not from us. I just wanted to say, like, we're very... thankful and grateful for everyone that has purchased through us, want to spend their hard-earned cash with us, because I know the products that we do are different and expensive. So, you know, don't feel like if you have an issue, feel free, you can reach out to us, because obviously we still want to provide that premium product feel.
And Ryan will reply to you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on what time my kid's teething. But yeah, just honestly, massive thanks.
You can put the website down there, can't you?
Bigboots.co.uk, big_boots.uk, I think is my Instagram.
Do you want to have a look? You want to check, right?
Nah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
You need to do your own personal. And now,
Big Bastard t-shirt's coming. YouTube
channel, Big Bastards, OnlyFans.
And Elle's invited my wife. Yeah, exactly. Big Bastard fans. And then my wife will be on the podcast next.
What about you, Luke?
Go on, Luke.
And don't give us any more stories, mate.
We're
on the edge. We're on the tipping
point. Fair play to you, mate. Fair play to you.
Do you know what? He's going to drop something else out now.
By the way.
That's it.
Yeah.
Go on. So the first thing I want to say is thank you, and that's to my wife. She's supported me since we've been together now nearly 14 years, and she's seen the darkest side of me. She's always supported me, always been there, and it wore through her. I wouldn't have got where I am. I would have been like, I don't know where I'd be.
Do you know what, Luke? A wife is for life, not just for Christmas, mate.
That's what they say.
Sticker in the back of the van. Yes.
That's on the back of your bumper sticker, isn't it?
So, yeah, I've got to give appreciation to her.
Yeah, no, fair play.
I'll say, look, I have shared the story I've got, because if your mental health is as important as your physical health, so look after it. So if anyone's heard that and they have got mental health issues, please go and get help. look, you're only here once, okay? So give what you can, help what you can. People say that you only live once. No, you die once, you live every day. So just make the most of the opportunities that you get given to you. As far as my content wise, you can follow or not follow. I'm just going to put out my own content and hopefully you like it.
If you do watch it or you are listening and he's not hit the 1,000, just go and give him a little
cheeky
follow on
Instagram,
the Instagram,
YouTube,
bloody oath,
TikTok.
I presume it's under Blue Bulldog.
It is, yeah. There are how many people called that, so yeah, I managed to get all the tags for that. Yeah.
Nice work.
Be a weird name.
Get a story now, get you over 1,000.
You can do if you want.
Not. Try it. Let's go. Now he's going to fire one out.
The problem is people follow me and they hear me talk. Ha 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 ha!